Welcome, everyone. I'm Victoria Schneps, publisher of Schneps Media. And today we have an A-lister who will bring us a tale that is to be remembered forever because his life was changed forever by his recent visit to Israel. And I wanted to introduce Sammy Orth, who is an employee of Schneps Media and our wonderful sister publication, Dan's Papers, and be able to share how after I met the Israeli consulate, they offered for me to send some of my staff who were minority people, either Spanish-speaking or Black, to Israel because they wanted them to experience what Israel is all about. And so I was thrilled when Sammy said, I'll be delighted to go, and he did, and he's now back from, I think, what he has been calling a life-changing experience. Welcome, Sammy.
Thank you, Vicky. I want to appreciate you for the privilege of being on this podcast. And first and foremost, I would love to say that going to Israel made me feel that I didn't live my life in vain. It was an amazing experience. Israel is so beautiful. The culture, the people, the food, everything is in Israel is amazing. It's an experience. I wouldn't just go to tell people to hear, but also for them to experience it. It's something everyone needs to do once in their lifetime.
Well, Israel, I think, you know, you could do it more than once. I've been to Israel a few times because once you go, there's something about the country that makes you want to come back. And I know that you flew over on United Airlines and had, from the moment you landed, a very special experience. So I think that that is something I would like you to start from the beginning of your journey on this. How many people were in the mission?
We were about a team of eight people from different media houses in New York. Notably amongst them is Newsmax and New York Post, amongst many other media houses. And when we landed in Israel, contrary to what I was told before I was going to Israel, I was given an impression that as soon as I land from the plane, they would be pointing guns on my face, asking me about 21 questions, being hostile, and all of that. So I was in my mind getting ready to probably get a hostile reception. But when I go to Israel, we had the smoothest immigration processing. From getting down from the plane to doing all the immigration process, which I noted were fully automated, didn't take us up to 5 to 10 minutes to get done with immigrations and everything.
No lines.
Yep. And that was the first meat that was demystified, that was busted for me. So I didn't have anybody pointing guns on my face. I didn't have anyone harassing me. So I was like, okay, I'm in for the best time of my life.
And where did you go as the first stop?
So the first stop was Jerusalem. We spent the night in Jerusalem, and our journey began from visiting the Holocaust Museum, the Yad Vashem, if I get that correctly.
You did.
Yeah. So it was an amazing time to experience and relive everything that happened in the Holocaust. And I would dare to say that it's something that we need to be able to tell over and over again. It is something that shouldn't have happened and shouldn't be let to happen again. By the time I was done going through the museum, at the end of it, I was really emotional. And I just felt that Israel has truly been misunderstood and more so oppressed even.
Interesting perspective. So I've been to Yad Vashem and I know how moving it is to think there's that room where they have the starlights. They have all these lights up of the 1.5 million children that were killed. So it's, you cannot walk in there and not be moved. I wish there was a curriculum in the schools that gave that experience that you had. How did you spend the rest of your time in Jerusalem?
we spent a lot of time at the Yad Vashem, and then we went down to the Temple Mount, where you could see a culmination of all cultures. I
All
saw,
religions.
yes, all religions. Everyone is there. The Indians are there. The Armenians are there. The Greeks, everyone all over the world is out there. The Muslims, the Jews, everyone is down there together. I was able to visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I went to the Western Wall and also saw the mosque, I think Hassan Mosque or something like that. But it was an,
Abraham, right.
yes, it was a
Yes.
very, and everybody was moving around freely with no restriction, with no harassment. It was an amazing time. And then most of the Bible stories I've heard came alive, became real, more real to me when I was out there. And then this is how it really affected me, was how Israel was able to preserve all those iconic sites. They are still intact, they are still in place, and people are allowed of different faiths to come and experience them. It was an amazing thing.
Well, I think that being in Jerusalem to me is an amazing thing because I feel they have never replaced the cobblestone streets that were built thousands of years ago, since the temple is over 2,000 years old, and the feeling of you're walking in the footsteps of your elders who passed before us.
That's
From
right.
Jerusalem, I know that you were moving on to other parts of Israel. What was your next stop?
So let me give you a brief rundown of all our stuff, because it's going to take me a whole year to unpack all the experiences I had in Israel. I mean, our time would not even be enough to talk about everything. But from Jerusalem, we went to Nova, the place where they had the October 7 attack. We went to the city of Sderot. We went to the kibbutz. We went to the Golan Heights. We went to the city of Haifa. We had all the experiences. It was an action-packed time in Israel, filled with fun and filled with love.
So tell me, talk to me a little bit about your experience in Nova and how you were able to, they preserved where that tragedy, where that calamity occurred. Tell us some more about that experience there.
When we got there, we were able to speak one-on-one with one of the survivors of the attack. And this is not something she's making up. This is someone that had the experience of the attack on that same day. At some point, she will cry, we will cry. And it was something I can't even imagine how
Well,
people
tell us
can.
about how you told me how she was able to survive, how she played dead. Talk to about how she described that
Oh,
experience of surviving.
okay, Vicky. So she told us that the bullets, the guns were coming from every side, right, center, left, and that she was able to crawl for about a mile, hiding behind a policeman who at some point couldn't even protect them anymore. She at some point when the terrorists came close, I think someone hit her with the butt of the gun and she was bleeding from the back of her head. So she fell on top of other dead bodies with blood all over her. So probably people who saw her probably think she's dead herself. And that's how they left her alone. And she was able to crawl back into an empty car. I think the occupants of those cars have been killed. By the way, Vicky, I want to mention, there's a special place called the car cemetery where they have all the cars that were burnt. You see bullet holes in those cars. I have pictures of them. You see bullet holes in those cars, over 1,000 cars that were attacked and destroyed. So she says she ran into one of those cars, and at some point, somebody identified that there's someone that is alive in that car, if they can help pull her out. And that's how she survived it. And it was really something miraculous for her. It was a covenant that she promised God, if she survived this, she's going to be able to tell the story and spread love around the whole world. So it was an amazing time too, listening
So I
to her.
think that the deniers, who are people who are deniers of the Holocaust, people who are deniers of October 7th, I can actually hear her story and know that everything she says is a fact of that time she was surviving. I was very impressed with how close that kibbutz was from, and a kibbutz is basically a farm, right?
Yes, Vicky, yes, who went and had a tour of the kibbutz. And the person taking us on this tour is a victim. She's her family were all killed in the kibbutz. I think she wasn't around. She survived it. And she literally took us to her house, her brother's house, and how people were massacred. And where we were standing, you could be seeing Gaza.
Amazing.
It's not far. Yes, from the fence, you just be looking at Gaza. It's not even up to, I don't think it's up to 5 miles from Gaza.
And what impressed me too was that they were talking about the fact that some of the people from Gaza actually worked on the kibbutz. Can
That's
you talk
correct.
A little bit about that?
That's correct.
Because the Palestinians were being hired by the Israelis.
Yeah, that's correct, Vicky. Israel is diversified. It's made up of different diversities. There are Arab Israelis. There are Muslims in Israel. There's literally every kind of ethnicity in Israel. So this is what I noticed. Some of the Palestinians, they do come to work in Israel. When the survivor and the lady that took us on a tour in the kibbutz, they never accused the Palestinians. They never said anything evil. They always say Hamas attacked us. They never said anything about the Palestinians. So it's not even about the people. People live in harmony. People love each other. They will always say it was Hamas that attacked them.
Interesting. You know, the perspective of having someone, young man said to me just last week, who is Jewish, she says, we're Palestinians. Because actually Israel was Palestine. And they just changed the name when they became an independent country. So he said, we are really, all Jews are Palestinians. And it's Hamas that's the enemy, not the Palestinian people.
That's
so
correct.
Tell us about, you know, would they had you there, and then you must have been very emotionally draining being at the site of the murders and the slaughters. How did you, you know, get time to recover, and where did you go next?
So Israel is not all that big. We went on top of a lookout in Samaria, like a mountain, where you can see the breadth of Israel, what they consider from the river to the sea. It's about 42 miles.
Mm.
So you can see the whole of Israel from the Jordan Valley up to the Mediterranean Sea. You can see the whole of Israel. So it's not even a big place that much. We're able to do from the south or the Gaza envelope up until the Golan Heights in the north.
What impressed you about the Golan Heights? What was the view from there of Israel, and you know, what was the takeaway from being in the Golan Heights?
From the Golan Heights, you can actually see Syria, and on that same route, you can see Lebanon on the other side. So the people that dwell in the Golan Heights area, most of them are considered to be people we call the Druze, who are also Israeli citizens. And they are also the Druze on the other side of the border, which is in Syria. But what I've come to notice from the conversation we're having with people in the community, we literally visited the Druze community. We saw the football pitch, the kids who are playing soccer, and a Hezbollah tree rocket into that place. We went to that family. Their hospitality was amazing. They gave us the best kind of food we've ever had. So they tell us stories about how these terrorists attacked them, and more so, how the Israeli soldiers even help with medical care, even give us supplies, even to the people on the other side. You know, even
and that
them-
was that right from the people's mouths. The Druze, that's capital D-R, I think E-W-E-S. Druze?
D-R-U-Z-E. Druze.
Ah, thank you for correcting me. because that's another sect totally that has lived peacefully and harmoniously in Israel for probably centuries.
That's correct, Vicky. And there's another people called the Bedouins. They're Arab Muslim Israelis too, who live in Israel. And one of them that went to see their family is actually black like me. And I was really interested to find out from him how he feels being in Israel. And he told me he feels like he's safe. He feels very comfortable. He feels they can aspire to become anything that he wants to be in the state of Israel. That as a matter of fact, they have hierarchy military officers of their Bedouin extraction in the Israeli army. In Israeli, they call it IDF, in the Israeli IDF. So, yes, so that there's nothing, most of them have little communities. Some of them stay in, they are pastoralists. Some of them stay in communities that are not recognized, but they are well taken care of. They have all the privilege and rights as Israeli citizens.
And when you went away from the Golan Heights, what was your next stop?
So we came to Haifa.
And we Haifa is famous for being a seaport town.
Oh my God. They said if you draw a straight line from Haifa to Europe, you're going to stop in London. So back in the days of British Empire, so that used to be their closest route to come through Haifa. You know, so, and Haifa is one place. I'm going to send you the picture, Vicky. So in the city, I saw a menorah, I saw a Christmas tree, and I saw a star sign and moon star all in one place. And I'm like, this is amazing. And then they took us to a place called the Baha'i Gardens. The Baha'i Gardens is an iconic edifice. It's beautiful garden, a temple. I don't know what religion that is, but they exist in Israel. They are free to worship. And I was blown away, you know, with the hospitality and the kind of people we met, how people relate with each other, how people work together, how people love each other in Israel. Vicky, the nightlife in Israel, especially Tel Aviv, is compared to what we have in New York City. That's how it is. There's no difference. So it was, trust me, I didn't want to come back. I didn't want to come back. I wanted to extend, but you know, I was like, okay, respect yourself, just come back, you know. But I wanted to extend. It was really a beautiful time, beautiful city. And the people are beautiful too. The ladies too are beautiful, Vicky, I must confess. They're really beautiful out there. They are.
Well, you know, Tel Aviv is considered the Riviera of Israel. And the beauty of Tel Aviv is the nightlife and the energy that is there. And tell us about your safety factor. How did you feel being in Tel Aviv?
So I think the crime rate is almost like zero. I literally walked down the streets almost every night. We were in Dan Tel Aviv. It's a hotel facing the ocean. And from my window, you can see the whole ocean, people jogging any time of the day. You see Americans, you see all cultures. You see people from India, you see Asians, people from China. Everyone may be having food, doing something, one activity or the other going on, and people minding their business. It was amazing. I took some time to walk around the city myself. Nobody harassed me. Nobody stopped me. You know how it is when you go to a foreign land, you want to have your passport and everything in your pocket all the time. Nobody stopped me to say, where are you from? Who are you? Nobody stopped me. Nobody harassed me or anything like that. It was a beautiful time.
So they say that Tel Aviv is a city that never sleeps. Did
it
you have any chance to do a nightlife?
I did, Vicky. It's off the record. I did. Yeah, it was really beautiful. It was.
Well, I think, you know, this trip sounds like it was most eye-opening about the truth of Israel in terms of welcoming many religions and welcoming people to their land and feeling safe there, even with all the crazy news you hear in the States about what's going on with the war. So, did they have any discussion? Did you get to go to the Knesset?
Yes, I did, Vicky. We spoke to the speaker of the Knesset. They gave us access to come in, even when they were sitting. We were able to come in, take a tour of everything, ask questions of people. We spoke with the Minister for Defense, and then also we went to the TV stations, both the ones that are left, right, center. We went to the stations to get their perspectives, and all I could take away from it all is that Israel is a country that's filled with people who are optimistic to see their nation thrive, to see their nation grow. And just to note, Vicky, Israel seems to be if I may dare say, the only democracy out there in the Middle East. The true democratic values is being practiced out there. I think they've had a female prime minister, even. And it's really a wonderful place, Vicky. The science, the technology, the innovation I see in that land is amazing.
Can you give us an example? Did you get to talk to any of the entrepreneurs? Because, people have invented Waze. My favorite app in the world came from Israel, and I think many innovative inventions have come. Did they get a chance to talk about that when you were there?
Yes, but not directly, and it's not something I may be at liberty to just say openly, because it might be someone's business. But I know they are looking into life after AI. In other words, they've been going ahead and doing research what comes next after AI. I mean, we're still
Wow.
trying to grapple with AI right now, but even move further. And I noticed another thing, they were very good with agri engineering. You know, when you're going up all the deserts, when you think there won't be any kind of water and things can't survive there, the plants and all that. But I don't know how they do it. Even in those deserts and stony regions, the crops are growing. They are still green, you know. And so that some of the things I noticed, they are really innovative. The technology is growing. And yeah, they're really looking into life beyond the AI.
So, did you fly home from Tel Aviv?
Yes, we flew back from Tel Aviv. Yes, we flew back from Tel Aviv, which was really also a smooth flight. A smooth
Well,
flight.
we're very happy to have you back. Are there any other things you'd like to share with us about your experience? Because it's hard to condense into a short program, a 7, 6 day week, experience, life-changing experience.
Yes, Vicky. I think I would just want to add, if anyone is listening out there, to be able to take this trip to Israel so that you can personally debunk some of the lies that have been told about Israel. And I will put it in this way, in the words of a Lutheran pastor. I may not be able to get this quote correctly, so I'm going to paraphrase. He said something like, when they came for the Jews, I did not speak because I was not a Jew. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak because I wasn't a trade unionist. When they came for the Catholics, I did not speak because I was a Protestant. But when they came for me, there was nobody left to speak. In other
Yes.
words, we need to start speaking up. All the lies, I was really apprehensive when I was going. I was thinking, literally, when I'm coming down from the airplane, somebody's going to point a gun to my face. So I was waiting and it didn't happen. I was like, okay, so this is all lies. This is all made up. And then you feel like when you come into Israel, they give you an impression it might be an apartheid state. You're going to file a one line if you are not Jewish or if you're this color or that color. And it's not like that. People are free. And I never knew that Israel, they even have Muslims, they even have Arabs as Israeli citizens. I never knew. So the visit is for us to be able to speak up, and I will encourage anyone who visits to be able to say what they've seen on their personal experience and debunk some of the lies that have been put out there against Israel. I feel Israel is in every one of us. If you ever been hated, if you ever been lied against, if someone tried to malign you, if someone tried to ostracize you ever, there's Israel in you. We need to start speaking up against anti-Semitism. We need to start speaking up against hate. We need to start speaking up against lies. No matter how little it is, it could be on Facebook, it could be on Twitter, and somebody put up a lie, a little lie, a little fire. Start right there, stop it, quench it right there. You know, so that's the only thing I can say. There are so many lies, and I'm able to express the real truth firsthand.
Well, I think that's the most beautiful thing that could be said. And I am so grateful that you're sharing your visit with us and sharing your experiences with us and making a bold, very powerful closing statement about your feelings about having been to Israel. Congratulations, Sammy. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Vicky. Thank you.
This is Victoria Schnepps signing off for Schnepps Media. Until next time, bye now.